will be called John. Elizabeth insists on John, even though friends and relatives gathered for the celebration think they know better. Elizabeth chooses the name John because she understands who this child is. I don't mean to suggest that she foresaw that John would wear camel hair, eat locusts, be a thorn in the side of political and religious authorities, baptize multitudes, and eventually have his head cut off. She probably didn't know all that. But she recognized something more important, more essential about her newborn baby. He was a sign of God's favor. The name John means God favors. I have a fleeting intuition of what Elizabeth was feeling when I celebrate baptisms. I watch the parents very closely. I'm deeply moved by how they care for their newborns, methodically unwrapping them from their coat in winter, tidying up the lazy baptismal gown, and strengthening the matching cap. When the baby starts crying, which always happens at baptisms, one of the parents rocks the baby gently and lowers his or her face near the baby's ear to whisper a soothing shh. These simple gestures all point to the same fact that Elizabeth was insisting on when she named her son. Babies are a sign of God's favor. They are precious gifts, so precious that other gifts seem small in comparison. I'm pointing this out because I'm guessing, and experienced parents can correct me if I'm wrong, that it is tempting to forget that children are signs of God's favor when they start getting older. Is it during the terrible twos when toddlers are throwing tantrums in public? Or when they're teenagers and seem to delight in contradicting everything mom and dad say? You tell me. And it's even more difficult, at least in my experience, to recognize a child as a sign of God's favor when that child becomes an adult, especially when that adult is not my son or daughter, especially when that adult does things that irritate and upset me. I think this is also true when I am that adult. It's often hard for me to see myself as a sign of God's favor. In a sense then, babies, before they speak, before they can do useful things, are already prophets. They tell us something important about how God sees us, even after we've grown into adulthood. I don't mean to suggest that God looks at us as a bunch of helpless newborns. Rather, babies give us a glimpse of how precious we are in God's eyes. Isaiah offers us insight into how God sees us in the portion of the servant song that we heard today in the first reading. The servant in this case is the personification of Israel. Let's listen to the words of the servant, just for now. The Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb, the Lord gave me my name. The writer continues musing on how God cherishes the servant, even in infancy. It's important to remember that by this point of Israel's history, when this was written, Israel had sinned so heavily that it had alienated itself from God's presence and was consequently exiled. The terrible twos of the teenage years do not even begin to describe the extent of the people's transgressions against God. And yet, God looks past the transgression. God does not even consider the people's faults. God looks at God's people in the way that parents look at their newborn children. And God says, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. These are God's words to us as well. And isn't that remarkable? Despite our sinfulness, even with all our imperfections and limitations, God looks at us as we might look at a newborn. Even though many of us are no longer children, we are signs of God's favor. At least, that's how God sees us. So yes, babies are God's, whether we are looking at our own children, or at someone else's child and passing on the street, or even at pictures of children. Our hearts are moved. They are, after all, signs of God's favor. Unfortunately, the tragic circumstances of the past couple of weeks have reminded us of how precious children are in our sight. We have been inundated with stories, pictures, and audio of immigrant children being forcibly separated from their parents at the border. Masses of people from opposing political persuasions here in Washington and across the country were horrified by the thought of young, beautiful, innocent faces bearing the signs of unimaginable pain. The Pope, several bishops, and other church leaders spoke out, and the outcry was widespread and emphatic. Yes, these are migrants. Yes, they may be here illegally, but these are children. The humanity of these children's tear-stained faces and of their heart-wrenching cries unmasked the inhumanity of the pain that was being inflicted on them. And we were all moved. For a short moment, in appalling circumstances, perhaps our nation got a glimpse of how God sees these children. Beneath the poverty, the national background, the legal status, God sees someone precious, someone with a name, even a light of hope to the nations, a bearer of God's salvation to the ends of the earth. In that same moment, although perhaps we were unaware of it, we caught a glimpse of how God sees our children too. How God sees us as people worthy of care and concern. These children at the border are prophets, just like John the Baptist. They have opened our eyes to see as God sees, and our ears to hear God's words to us. They have moved our hearts to follow God's will. So as family and friends gang up on Elizabeth and tried to force her to come up with a different name, Elizabeth held her ground when she saw her newborn son, because she saw him for what he was. He was not God. He was not the Savior. He was a sign of God's favor, a pointer to God's goodness, a little prophet that reminded her of God's care and concern for her and her family. When she gazed into the face of her newborn son, she understood that God was showing her favor. As she held her ground, she left us with that beautiful name, the name she gave her son, the name of each newborn infant in God's eyes, the name of every child at the border, the name that each of us bears. His name will be called John. Let us stand and profess our faith in God.